I'm excited always to be here at New Life and just excited about what God is doing here and a part of it, and just really, really glad to see God doing what he's doing. Getting ready to bring the word of God to you. But before I do, I want you to indulge yourself with me. I have a bit of a song that goes along with my message today. And it's a little old school for some of you, but the spirit of the song is incredible because the words of the song really just simply talks about God's faithfulness to you. How many can say that God's been faithful to me? Really, seriously, come on. Well, you're breathing and you're living, aren't you? That's like faithfulness to me, just in case you didn't know it. You didn't wake yourself up this morning. Hello. The song, it's long time ago, recorded from Brooklyn Tab in New York. But just listen to the words and just get into the spirit of the song. And it just basically says, he's been faithful. And I know that's your testimony, all right? So it's not going to go all the way through. So hang in there and get what you got to get, because we're going to kind of fade it out in a little bit.
In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my had no song, still in love he's proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true. What I thought was impossible,
just really talking about our God and how he treats us. And I think through the pain and the tears, through the sadness, through the years, through the ups and the downs, no matter what we have done, he's been faithful. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And certainly, if I was to testify, and I can do that right now, and I can tell you, that's my song, that I've had some shattered dreams, just like everybody else, had some things that happened that I thought would never, ever happen, and had to push through it, had to get through it, had to cry through it, had to tunnel through it, didn't blame anybody, didn't blame, you know, did all of that stuff, and wanted to blame somebody, but how could I when he turns around and picks me up, dries my tears, still says, you got a good future, you got a big future, I got you. You know, that's my favorite saying this year, I got you. He's just been proven faithful to me. He's been faithful because he's a covenant God, and that's what I want to talk to you about just for a few moments, that we serve a covenant God. And what God spells out to us is that he's faithful because he chooses to be that kind of God. A covenant or a contract, as we would know it today, would be a binding agreement. between two parties. A contract binds us together. It binds God with us, and it binds us with God. Paul says that in Romans, the 8th chapter, he says, I know this. I know this about God. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know this about myself, but I know this about God, that nothing will separate his love from me. Nothing. It's not that our love doesn't get separated from him, but the Apostle Paul says, through everything that I've been through, he's been faithful. He's been a constant. In spite of my actions, in spite of my responses, in spite of what I wanted to do or what I thought, he has never left me. And his love has never changed. Now, that's really good news to everybody, that in spite of who we are, what we've done, and nobody makes 100 every day. Come on. Not even me. I just, you know, much as we may try, as much as we want to do good, good intentions, but nobody makes 100 every day. But he's not looking at the 100. He's looking at the heart. And he says that I made a decision that I am going to be totally faithful to you and I have unconditional love for you. So Paul says, this is what I know. This is what I know. Nothing that I do can separate his love from me. He's told me that. He's proven that. As a matter of fact, he said, before you were saved, that I knew you and I redeemed you. He said, I picked you up. I made your life before you even decided to give me your life. Before we were born, Christ died for us, the Bible said. While we were yet sinners. He loved us while we were sinners. So we can't put a guilt trip on ourselves, or we can't allow things to stop us because, you know, of mistakes or things that are not good in God's eyesight, because he's not looking at the actions, although they're important. He's looking at your heart. So what he says today is, I don't change my mind about you. I'm a covenant God. I keep covenant. I don't move. I'm stable. I'm not a deal breaker. I'm going to talk about that. This is what I'm talking about today, that God is not a deal breaker. That's supposed to be on the screen about right now, but God is not a deal breaker. All right. And I want to show you just a couple of scriptures in the Bible where he's been faithful from the beginning. He's the same God today as he was yesterday and forevermore. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, and he doesn't change. We go through all kind of changes. We go through all kind of hoops. We promise God. We say we're going to do something. We make vows. We break them. We all of that. But he never changes. That's so sweet. That is so sweet. He never changes. And that's the kind of father that we have. Judges 2:1. Is a scripture I just want to borrow, and then I want to go into the book of Hebrews that talks about a covenant God. He's not a deal breaker. That's my topic. God is not a deal breaker. All right, say that.
God is not a deal breaker.
Say it again.
God is not a deal breaker.
He can't break a deal. He cannot lie. He can't, Numbers 23:19 say, God is not like man. He's not a politician. He don't lie. If he says it, he'll bring it to pass. He swears by his own word. He took an oath and says, I will bless you, I will love you, and I will not take it back. You are forever blessed, and it cannot be reversed. That's good news. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, this is what the angel said that the Lord was saying to them, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. I made a promise to your fathers. I made a covenant with your fathers about you, and said, what? Read it, everybody.
I will never break my covenant.
Come on, a little bit louder.
I will never break my covenant.
God is saying today, I will never. Amen. Big news. Great news. What is it about never you don't understand? What is it about never that you keep beating yourself up with, or thinking that God is not going to want to use you, or you're not good enough, or he's going to get you? No, God will never break covenant with you. He is not going to break, do what you will, mess, you know, suffer some consequences. But he said, I'm not changing. I'm staying right here. I'm not moving. And the message comes today, because there's some things that God is, this is a season of release, people. This is a season where God's getting ready to really show you some things. There's some things that's on God's timeline that he's ready to release it and deliver. And the only way that he can do it for his people that are in covenant with him, is we have to make sure we're in covenant. We're walking in covenant. So a message like this come to jack you up, really. Kind of speak. I'm like, get your butts where it's supposed to be, you know. It's not a bad one. It's good. It's like, can you please get there? Because September 1 or September 14th, this is on the calendar in heaven for you, and I need you right there, positioned at the right place, in the right time, doing the right things. That's what I said, and that's what he means. And so a message like this comes to say, I need you in place. I need you positioned. And so he that hath an ear, let him hear. And the Lord will always, he's always, you know, if we get out of covenant, he's not there, you know, ready to beat us up, ready to, you know, shoot us down. He's always chasing after us saying, get back in there. He's always sending a word of encouragement. He's always, you know, we're always going to see something. We're going to see God all around us all the time because he'll never break covenant. And he's always saying, come on back. What are you doing? What are you doing? Come on, why are you wasting time? You know that's not right. Get in here. You know the call of God on your life. You know what I've said about you. Come on, it's time. The bell is ringing. Woo, woo, the train is getting ready to leave. Get in here. It's a time-sensitive day, people. You know, you get stuff in the mail that says, time-sensitive, open it now. Don't let it lay around for 3 months. It'll be too late. The deadline will be over. And we're living in a time where things are time sensitive with God. It's not just what we can do, but it's what God is ready to do for us. And so he can only operate, he can only work through covenant. Come on, say that. Say, God can only work through covenant. He's not an emotional God where, you know, this is what he's not going to do. And you got to know this. He's not going to come down and get on your level and say, oh, I'm God, and but I'm going to change my mind, and I feel you, and I'm going to, you know, change my rules because I feel sorry for you, and I know you're discouraged, and sometimes even I get discouraged sometimes. God get discouraged, right? So, but we want him to come down on our level, and we want him to operate like we operate. He's not gonna operate like you. He's not gonna operate like me. He's not gonna be a game changer. We'll change the game in a New York minute. We'll make up our own righteousness. We will, and we'll justify it, and we'll say, "Oh yeah, God, you understand, don't you?" God say, "No, I don't." God, you feel me? You know my heart. He said, "No." No more feeling your heart. As a matter of fact, you don't want to talk to me about your heart. Because I'll tell you what's really in your heart. You know, my dad used to say, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God any of the time. None of the time. You can't fool God because you can only worship him in spirit and in truth, and he knows everything. And so we got all of these justifications and all these reasons why we do or why we don't, or why we stay where we are and why we live the way we live. And he'd be like, dude, don't do that with me. I know the number of hairs on your head. I know your every thought. I know your intentions. I know you're going to be at the altar saying this, but I know in your mind something else is going on. So, but he says, even in the midst of death, I'm not a deal breaker. If the deal is broken, you're going to break the deal. Let's come on. Let's put the blame where it goes. Let's be accountable to this great system and this great way that God has given us to live. And so he says emphatically, I will not break covenant. Stand here. I'll do everything. I'm bad. I'll do everything I say I will do. Call me to a task. He even said in Malachi, prove me. Take my word. If you don't believe me, I'm telling you to give me a tenth of your income and what I'll do. If you give me a tenth, you saw that, the cute little video. You give me a tenth and then a free will offering and you do the rest. He said, prove me. You think I'm just talking trash? Prove me. You think I'm just talking junk? Prove me. You bad? Come on. Put me to a test and I'll show you. God is ready to show you who he really is and what he wants to do for your life. Psalms 37, 1-5 talks about that. If we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of his heart. If we would commit our ways, get back in covenant with him,
that he'll bring everything to pass. He's not a deal breaker. So if something is not going right, if it's going wrong, he's not the deal breaker. We got to look at ourselves. We got to look at how we live, how we give. If our finances is funny, come on. He's going to do what he says. If you do what you're supposed to do, he's going to do what he's going to do. He's not the deal breaker. If a marriage is kind of going like this, he's like, I'm still in the midst of the marriage, but somebody, both of you, one of you have left me in the marriage. Get back in there. Why, Pastor Judy? Because this is the season when God is answering prayers, where he's fulfilling his promise. It really is. I mean, it really, really, really is. I mean, look at what he's doing. Last year, we were not where we are. You were not here where you are of getting ready to possess the church. It was almost like all of a sudden, talking about it. We were talking about, 2 years ago, we were talking about it. But when the timing comes, he wants everybody in position so everything can happen like he desires it. His will on earth as it is. His will on earth as it is. And he's got some good things already planned for you. All right. Let me quickly go to Genesis. I'm going to give you two scriptures and show you how he's a covenant God, and we're going to call it a day. All right. All right. Everybody say, God is not the deal breaker. Say, he's not a game changer. Okay, look at Genesis 9, 8 through 17 with me real quick. Show you that he made this covenant with, first of all, there was a covenant with Adam in the garden, and Adam broke the deal. He did it, right? He was deceived, and he suffered consequence. And God, from then, has always been in the work of restoring, of bringing back, getting Adam back in the garden. You know, he loved to sit and talk with Adam. He loved it. He loved the commune. He loved it. And Adam got deceived, and he broke the contract, and so in the covenant, so God had to restore him. Look at when he made a covenant with Noah. Again, a covenant, a divine binding agreement between God and man, for a specific action. God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, and all of that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." So you know when this earth leaves, it's not going to be by water. Somebody say it's going to be by fire. It's not going to be by water. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant. Not only will I give you a covenant, but I'm going to give you a sign, which I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual," it means us today, "generations. I set," something that we see today, that he set in place before, "I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud." If you've got some cloudy situations right now going on in your life, there's a rainbow there. Just keep watching. There's a rainbow. The sun's going to shine after a while. All right, I'm telling you something. It's cloudy right now, but the rainbow is going to show up. And this is a sign of his covenant with you, that he's going to make everything all right. He'll turn your darkness into light. "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." Just two more verses. "The rainbow," everybody say the rainbow. "The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Last one. "And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." So whenever you see a rainbow now, from now on, whenever you see a rainbow, just know that that's the sign that God put in place years and years ago to let you know that I'm a covenant God. that I can bring something good out of your cloudy days. It's just a sign. And he says that this is a sign not only back then, but this is your sign today. Now, there are many signs that God can give you about his faithfulness and that he will do what he said he will do. And when you see something phenomenal, I mean just supernatural, as a beautiful, I've seen in Africa, I've seen double rainbows. Like, wow, something is up with God when you see a double rainbow. But it's a sure sign of his covenant with his people. Hebrews 8:6-12. All right, the old covenant. Everybody say old covenant. You know, it's a type and a shadow of the new. So the old covenant wasn't the real deal. It gave us a panoramic view of what God was going to do in the New Testament. It gave us a picture. It was a typology. It was a symbol of everything that was going to happen for real in the New Testament. For an example, the old sacrificial system of killing the animals, the he-goats and the heifers and all of that. And what that did in the Old Testament, it atoned for your sins. So if you sinned, you go kill an animal, you put that blood out there, and your sins were washed away. All right? So the Lord tells us about a better covenant for the New Testament, because before Jesus came, that covenant was not complete. It was insufficient because it could not cleanse the heart or the conscience or the mind. It did external stuff and didn't do internal stuff. So there had to be a living sacrifice. Jesus had to come, and he came, and there was a better covenant and a better way. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator, Jesus, of a better covenant. Jesus is the one that's over the better covenant, which was promised on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. All right? Because finding fault with the old system, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Not according to the old. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. You sin, you die. All right? Because that's what happened. You sinned, you die. You stole, your head was cut off. You did anything wrong, you're out. And they slew every time in the Old Testament, and God slew them, and God slew them, and God slew them. And they, you know, they did this, and God slew them. He says, no more. We're not doing that. When Jesus came, grace and mercy and truth came. Amen, everybody? Amen. Hey, amen, 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 amen again. And so he says, not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in that day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with thee, the house of Israel, after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds. All right. Now, this is changing from having a covenant with a nation and people to now the new covenant says, this is between me and you. This is between me and you. It's not about the nation of Israel. It's not about New Life. It's not about Pastor Alex. This is between me and you. And the relationship that me and you have is a covenant that I have with you and that you have with me. So guess what? Can't play the blame game. Can't point the finger. Well, if, and because. No. He says, I'm picking you up. I'm turning you around. I'm putting my law in your heart. I'm giving you a relationship where you can come to me. You can call. You can say, Abba, Father. You don't have to have anybody in the way or be an intercessor. Jesus is your intercessor. Now, if you got a problem, come see me. Come on, somebody. You got something you want to, you don't like something, come see me. Me going all around town and calling on the telephone and telling everybody what was happening and what you think about that. Say, you don't like it? Come see me. This is between me and you. This is a personal affair. Covenant is not corporate like it was in the Old Testament. It's personal. It's individual. So can't nobody go to hell for you, and can't nobody go to heaven for you. Amen. Amen. Can't. And you can't blame anybody for sending you to hell, and you can't blame anybody for stopping you from going to heaven. It's between you and God. Come on, say it's between me and him. So he says, I'm going to put my law in your mind and write them in your hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Just a couple more. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to them to the greatest of them. No, he's just given us no excuse to say that we can't know him for ourselves, all right? So it's a wonderful, this covenant thing is great. It's great because, number one, he will never break covenant. That says to me that if God is going to do everything he said he's going to do, well, what's the problem then? We are the problem, aren't we? Because it takes two to keep covenant. So if I don't like what's going on, don't be blaming God. Don't be, you know, getting after God. God, you forgot about me. God, you don't love me. God, why you forget about me? God, excuse me. I am where I said I was going to be. I'm not changing. You're the one that left my word. You're the one that stopped trusting me. You're the one that stopped obeying me. You're the one that started looking over there, and I say, look unto me and look unto the hill which cometh your help. You're the one that set your affections on things below and not on things above. You're the one that changed. I'm not changing. This is what you got when the rubber meets the road. At the end of the day, it is never God's fault. So, you know, step up to the plate, man up, and say, all right, God, I got to do better. I got to do better. I got to get back in the place where I need to get. Because here's the thing. Again, God doesn't break covenant. And so everything that God says he's going to do, he'll do, because he can't change and he doesn't lie. So if I stay where I'm supposed to be and he is where he's going to be, it's going to happen. Wonderful. I want to say to you, expect big things. Expect great stuff. Because God is great, and he's given us some great, some better promises than he gave in the Old Testament. He said, you don't ever have to worry about some things if you stay with me. Keep your eyes on me. Oh, trust and obey me. Don't lean to your own understanding. Just stay on the road. You know, it's not going to be easy, but just stay right there, and I'll take you to where you need to go. He's not a deal breaker. All we have to do, it's just so simple. It really is. It really is simple. It's my conclusion. All we have to do is trust and obey. That's it. Trust and obey. Your crazy mind, sometime, don't listen to it. Your wacky emotions, tell your emotions to sit down and shut up. God doesn't change. And when we can really understand that he keeps covenant with his covenant people, that means that we got to stay in covenant. It's us. People, it's us. It's us. It's us. Oh, my God. Y'all don't know nothing about this song because it's old. But we used to sing, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh, Lord. See, nobody can finish. That is awful. I love you, man. I love you. Come on, say it again. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord.
Standing in the need of prayer.
Yeah. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord.
Standing in the need of prayer.
It's not my mother, it's not my father, but it's me, oh Lord.
Standing in the need of prayer.
Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord.
Standing in the need of prayer.
Yeah. Now, that's not an audition for the praise team, okay? Don't get it twisted. That's the bottom line. It's never God. It's always us. But here's the good news. He's always after us, like he is today. It's like, forget those excuses. Don't blame nobody. Get yourself back where you needed to be. Because I'm ready to bless you. I'm ready to turn some things around. Don't make me wait no longer. Hey, God said, don't make me wait. Come on, you're about to blow it. You're going to miss the bus. You're going to miss the bus. And don't, how many know that if the bus is all supposed to be there at 7:30 and then you get there at 7:35, don't be talking about, well, the bus wasn't supposed to be for me. No, the bus was supposed to be for you. You just missed it. And you got to wait till it comes back around. So just know that God is standing right there. He's a faithful God. He's going to do everything that he says he's going to do. But it's up to us to make a decision, stand back in line, get back under the spout so he can bless us. Anybody ready for the blessings of God?
Thank you for listening to this sermon. I believe that the words of Jesus spoke directly to your heart, and now you have an opportunity to respond. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and draw me closer to you. If you prayed this prayer, or if these messages had some impact in your life, would you consider sharing your testimony on our homepage? Your stories encourage others as we bring people closer to Jesus.